Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 23rd edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Min Canfield. She moved to Maine 13 years ago, did the ETEP teacher training program through USM, and has a number of roles teaching, translating, and advocating for others. Most recently, Min has taught math through the Title I program in the Portland's elementary school system, and she and her husband are raising 5 and 8-year-old sons. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Min.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me, and I'm very glad to be a new Mainer in this program.
Thank you. It's just a delight to have you here today. So, Min, you're originally from Vietnam.
Yes, I'm from Vietnam in the central.
In the central part of the country?
Yeah.
What city?
Hue is H-U-E. So Hue was the, in the central, we have the north, the south, the central. And I'm in the central where the last emperor lived. And I live right into the citadel. The imperial city.
Beautiful. And what was it like to grow up in the imperial city?
Yeah, I recall it's very beautiful, tranquil when I grew up. Actually, I grew up right at the post-war. I heard a lot of explosion every day, but we was taught how to away from that, so we all are sound and safe, right?
Yeah, you were safe and sound, kept away from the explosions.
Yes,
but you knew people who had lost limbs and through landmines.
Yes, I heard a lot from there, but now not anymore. I think in 1980s, we had a program of volunteer people who came and remove the mines under the ground. Now I don't think there's no more mines under the ground.
They've been cleared.
Yes.
Well, that's good. I hate to think of people living on, even after a war, in such a dangerous zone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what was it like? You grew up in a big family in a city in central Vietnam. What did it feel like? What did it look like and smell like?
Yes, telling about the smell, because at that time we have all the trees and the bamboo bushes around the village, and every day I love the smell, like at any season, like in the summer I love the smell of the stalks, the rice stalks, drying on the street, and I love the smell of the sugar cane. Was burnt, and I love it. And when I drove out of the citadel, it's a lot of field, open field with the rice, and I love the smell of the rice when it's blooming.
Is that a sweet smell?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I always try to go back and try to get that smell. Yeah.
When you go home, do you plan your trips around the blooming rice?
Yes, I did, and 2 weeks ago I was there. Fortunately, the rice were blooming, so I can smell that smell.
I'm glad you got to reconnect with that. Smells are so powerful.
Yes, yeah, it's with you everywhere.
Did it connect you to your childhood when you smelled the blooming rice?
Yes, yeah. It did.
And did you and your six siblings, or you and your seven siblings?
Yeah, I have six sisters and two brothers. So my parents had a lot of on their plates.
Yes.
To feed us after the war. We was very poor. My family raised pigs, and we made wine from rice. And but fortunately, all of us could go to school. Yeah.
How did that happen? How were you able to all go to school? Did you have to pay private fees for school?
Back that time, I recall every child can go to school, but if the parents say you don't need to go to school, they just stop at home. And there's no rule at that time and regulation. Yeah.
So it was free for all, but some families needed their children home to help raise children to help. And to help in the fields.
Yes, mm-hmm. To help, yeah, mm-hmm. The house chores, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's different than here, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Very different.
Is there anything that you wish all Americans understood about Vietnam?
Yes, Vietnam is a developing country. It has a beautiful countryside, along with approximately 2,000 miles coastal line. And it has a long and rich histories through a lot of dynasties.
Dynasties, yes.
And wars. But overall, Vietnam is a beautiful country to visit. And the people are warm, friendly, and peaceful.
It is becoming a tourist destination, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it is.
I saw that in 92, the average annual income was about $142 a year equivalent in the U.S. And now it's more than 10 times that, with about $2,000 a year would be an average income, though it's quite different for different places and people.
Yes, because after the war, we all self-supply. But then after that, I think in 1990s, we have the open door policy. And I still remember in 1994, we had the embargo
mm-hmm.
Was stopped from America, so have more trades and
that opened things right
it
up.
It opened things up, and then the life totally different.
So in what ways did you notice that when the embargo ended?
A lot of factories, a lot of companies got in, a lot of materials. When we grow up, we didn't have much clothes at all. But right now, so everything's can
more,
import.
More westernized, from, too?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When did you start learning English? Did you start learning French and then switch to English, or how did that
actually,
go?
Actually, I learned English when I was sixth grade. It's required by school, by the government. So, but we learn very only from the text.
It's different, isn't it? Just learning syntax.
I started to talk when I was in to speak English when I was in college, and when I met my brother-in-law James Sullivan, he's the author of the Over the Moat.
Oh,
yes,
mm-hmm. That's your brother-in-law.
Yes,
mm-hmm. And that's when you really started speaking English. Wow, did you read his book?
Actually, my sister met him because she thought that I can practice English through my brother-in-law.
It worked. Your English is wonderful.
Thank you.
And you were raised in the Buddhist tradition, is that correct?
Yes. When I was a child, I went to pagoda almost every Sunday afternoon. We have a lot of fun time there. We pray Buddha, and we play a lot of games, and we practice a lot the skill. It's very good. And I am always proud that I have a chance to be with the in the Buddhist tradition. And also have more chance to learn about the Buddha. He is a philosopher, psychologist, and also scientist.
Yes, he has many wise teachings, doesn't he?
Yes, because he reflect, he helped people with the by the reflection of the people suffering. And what is his goal? To help the people to enjoy the moment, present moment, and maintain the peace of mind. And I feel that like I need to practice it every day.
I think that you bring that with you. You have a grace and a peace about you.
Thank you.
And perhaps that Buddhist tradition just shines through.
I don't know.
Do you get to share any of your Buddhist teachings and practice with your sons?
Yes, I do. Like I try. Actually, one of the Dalai Lama statement, he said that create the loving atmosphere at your home is the foundation of life. So I try to do that, and I try to keep calm when the any situation come, and I try to do that to help to guide my children.
That's a beautiful lesson. Start by breathing, and then you can think better, and then you can make better choices.
Yes, I often when they are like in the hyperactive or they are in the crisis of something, I try ask them to breathe in and out, and everything take time and the effort.
Boy, I bet you bring a nice calm to the to a crisis.
I try to, yeah.
You are listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us, welcome. Today I'm visiting with Minh Canfield, originally from Vietnam, and now a Title I math teacher in the Portland Public Schools. So earlier you shared with me that you think that the education system here is the best in the world and that children are treated very well here. And I wonder what you're seeing that makes you feel that way.
You know what? You have all the resources here and all the children can access that. That is wonderful. I still remember that when I arrived in America in December 21st, 2001, and that is on the vacation, the Christmas vacation. I didn't know at all. I said, wow, yes, you have a long vacation.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And then actually the first day when the student come back, I still remember January 1st or the 3rd, and I went to the school in the Pleasant Hill Road. It's elementary school in Scarborough. My sister lives at the corner there. So I walked into the school and I saw the libraries and the children and the teachers. They are wonderful. I say, wow, this is the heaven. I want to stay here.
Oh, yeah. You love the school.
Yes. And you know, the when you go to the library, you can borrow as many books as you can. And the CD and video and even the telescope. I think that's wonderful. That's create the opportunities for all the children. They want to learn, and that's wonderful. In Vietnam, we don't have that. And you know, I say to myself, I wish I was a child here.
You wish you could do it all over again.
Yeah.
Well, you were a very serious student in Vietnam without all the resources. Imagine what you might have put together here.
Yes, you know, it's like this. When I learned English, and then I didn't have a dictionary, and so every 2 days I bite to my friend to ask her to borrow the big dictionary, because when I study more and then I have small dictionary and it's didn't have enough the words, so I went to her place to borrow that her big thick dictionary.
Good friends always let you use their big dictionaries.
Yes, yeah.
And you wanted those words so badly you would bike to get them.
Yes, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. But
do you have specific ideas regarding how we can continue to meet the children's needs here in the education over the coming decades? What would you like to see more of in our schools?
You know what I see is wonderful here. Like all the children are treated so well. And I feel that they're in heaven. and I am always thinking about teaching children the character development, because I think it's so important. Before you get the knowledge, you have to know how to behave. And and actually, I see in the schools, actually because I was a parent specialist from the multilingual office, so I have I had many chance to get into the school, and I see all the school, they have like ask the student follow 3 R's: respect for yourself, respect others, and responsibility. But in the Dalai Lama, he teach us that too.
The same three R's.
But then in there he say responsibility for all actions. And I always thinking if we teach children more about cause and effect through the stories and also the chemistry and physics, and thus help the student understand more about the responsibility. How does it mean?
That's beautiful. So yeah. Cause and effect, not only for our behavior, but even in the physical world. What is cause and effect?
You know what? I just tap like this. You see? And the radiation,
yes.
The vibrant, it's just
the vibrations come right up through the table.
But it doesn't stop. It's go down and then it's go up. It's still rippling, right? Yeah.
So those vibrations are an easy example, aren't they?
Yes.
The cause and effect. And the things we do ripple out and don't stop too, right?
Yes.
The kindness someone lets us in traffic and you think, wow, that was generous. And yeah. That you share, it ripples out.
Yeah.
Yes. So. And so you're doing that with the children you teach.
I try. Yeah.
Yes.
So I try to get them in to the grid and yes, to help them to see more whenever, and then the good effort is the most important. Yeah.
That's very interesting. I think, you know, you come from a culture that's very family-based and very
yes.
community-based, and here in the United States, we are a little more individualistic, aren't we? Quite a bit.
I don't know, but you know what? In your communities, I see a lot of human. You teach children the humanity. I think it's so important, and I can see that actually because the culture too, like my culture, have been affected by Confucius and the Buddha. Here you have more Western philosopher. But overall, we try to be a good citizen and a good person in this world, and we share the earth. Yeah.
I like the expression, many paths up the mountain. You know, yeah. Whether we're coming at it from philosophers, Western philosophers or Eastern philosophers, it's all the same mountain, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
That universal respect.
Yes.
And that your behavior makes a difference in the world.
Yes, yeah. And mm-hmm. I believe in that, the universal respect and the universal virtues too. No matter what you are, no matter what where you come from, religion or religious, yes.
Religious background.
Religion, yeah, mm-hmm. background. You have to come here with the universal virtues to be a good person, to be in a community.
And that's really the same everywhere, isn't it?
Yes.
When we spoke before, you spoke about asking, what can I do to benefit the whole community? How can I contribute?
Yes, I always think about that, and I always try myself to be a good citizen where I live. I ask that my questions and how I can contribute to the life. So that is very important.
What would be your dream way to be able to contribute to your community here in Southern Maine?
It's a very big question.
It is a
but
big
by
question.
Myself, I am a mom right now, so I try my best to raise 2 my children so they become a good citizen I try to be a good teacher and make my students and my children have a good life and have a higher thinking to make their life different. Yeah.
Would you someday like to have a full-time classroom to teach?
Yes, I. That's my goal.
What would your favorite age group be to work with if you could just...
You know, actually, I graduated from university in Hue, and I should teach in high school. And I, when I came here, I say, oh, high school students, they are so...
They're so big here.
Big here, yes. So, and I'm so small. So I'm thinking about middle school. And actually, my favorite is elementary school and middle school. And I feel I make a lot of connection with the children, and I always try to play and, you know, talk to them. And I feel so rewarding when I work with them.
Well, I think they're lucky to have you.
Thank you.
How might some of your family's Vietnamese beliefs and cultural attitudes towards education enhance the system here? You said that your family studied so hard and you had so few resources in your schools, and yet you've become so successful. And I wonder if you have beliefs or ideas from home that you would offer here.
Yeah, I always believe in the character development. Actually, in Vietnamese proverb, we have a proverb. It says, before gaining knowledge or learning, you have to learn how to behave yourself. And that is the way. And I think I try to teach my children respect the teacher and respect the community and respect the school, so they can become a good student and good citizen for the society. And actually, in Vietnam, when we grow up very poor, but all of us try very hard to finish the school.
What are some of the jobs that your brothers and sisters do?
Actually, two of my sisters, they are teachers, and one is a business woman, and another stay at home with my two. One stay at home with her child, and another, most of them, actually most of my sisters, they put the family first. So most of them, they stay at home when the children are young. And I think that is the wonderful gift to the children. Yeah.
To help them learn to behave themselves so that they can then learn.
Yes.
And then give back to the community themselves.
Yeah.
Well, I like it. It's a system that works. Because you're bringing so much to us here.
Thank you.
Min, you are a lovely person. Bright and organized. Responsible. And a real pleasure to visit with. I know you have a passion for education because I can see it in your eyes and I can feel it when I talk to you. And I know you... embody the Confucius quote, find a job that you love and you will never have to work a day in your life. I think you've done that. When I spoke with you earlier about your job, you lit up and you said, oh, I love to teach. I love to be with the children. And I think that is a gift to our community.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for all you contribute to the children of this community and also for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and I'm very glad that I'm a new Mainer.
Yes, you are a wonderful new Mainer. You've helped other new Mainers along the way as well, I know, and many hands, right?
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Please join us each Sunday from noon to 12:30 for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, you can always listen to newmainerspeak.com. Next week, the conversation will be with Hélène Nahimana, originally from Burundi. Hélène is now coordinator of the Maine Immigrants' Rights Coalition, as well as the Immigrants' Rights and Racial Justice Organizer for Maine People's Alliance. He will talk about how he can be sure that New Mainers not only have a voice, but also have meaningful ways to contribute their gifts to our society. I hope you can join us next week at noon for that conversation. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Min Canfield. You've been listening to New Mainers Speak, and we will close today's program with some saxophone music that Min has selected for us. I wonder if you could introduce that, and then we will go directly from that to Cruz del Sur after that, right here on MPG. Can you tell us a little bit about our saxophone artist?
Yes, this is Trang Man Tung. He's a very famous saxophone player from Vietnam. Actually, he went to United States to study music in Boston. And many times when we have a chance to come back to Vietnam, we always go to his show to listen.
You go to his shows when
yes.
you go back to Vietnam?
Yes, yeah. And we have a lot of CD from him. Yeah.
And you two share the commonality of having the United States and Vietnam in your hearts. I think it comes through in his music. I hope you'll enjoy it.
Thank you.